Let's just spend a moment in prayer. Let us pray. Most gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, how we pray that Thou bless this word to our hearts this evening, and that we might be greatly encouraged, O Lord, to commune with Thee this week in a way, in a deep way, deeper way, a closer way, a more intimate way than we've ever done so before. O Heavenly Father, may we truly enter into a close relationship with Thee and with Thy Son, Jesus Christ. And as Paul prayed, Lord, that we might know Him, we might know our Saviour this week. Grant us that grace, we pray. Forgive our every sin. Restrain us in our sinning, we pray, and promote holiness in us, that being agreed, we might walk together with Thee along life's narrow way. We ask these things now, commending this time into Thy hands, looking to Thee for all grace to help us now. In His name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear friends, I'm starting tonight with Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22. Moses' inspired words here about Enoch. Genesis chapter 5 verse 22. Enoch, and Enoch, even though he lived in a very ungodly age, he managed, God gave him the grace to walk with Him. He walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. So, dear friends, we start with that text tonight, Genesis 5 and verse 22. And you can see that one of the things that Moses wrote about here to his people for their encouragement, that they might do the same, and to all of God's people in every generation, he's writing here in this chapter and in this verse about walking. He also mentions about Enoch begetting, and that is his begetting children as a father. But the chief thing here really is Enoch's walking with God. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And this is what I'm very interested in this evening, personally, and I trust that you're very interested in this as well. So I trust that you are a Christian here this evening, this business and this matter of walking. And here in this verse, walking with God, but there are other ways of walking in relation to God, as we're going to see in a moment. Well, what is this walking? Well, obviously, this is not a literal and a physical walking, as you might have come to this church or came into this church this evening. But this is spiritual walking, isn't it? This is the believer in God living before Him. It's a spiritual walking, a spiritual journeying, or going on habitually with God. And this is something that Enoch did, and we read about it here in this verse, Genesis 5 verse 22. We also read about it in Genesis 5 and verse 24. Again, Enoch, he walked with God. He spiritually journeyed with God. He went on habitually with God in a close spiritual relationship with Him. And unusually, very unusually, suddenly he was not. He couldn't be found because God took him, God translated him. Perhaps God could no longer bear him to be upon the earth. God wanted him, it was his time for him to go straight to glory, straight to heaven. So Enoch, walking like this, he had a heaven below, and suddenly he had a heaven above as he went to be with God, which is far, far better than the kind of days and the world in which he was living in at that time. Well, my dear friends, are you yourselves walking? Are you spiritually mobile? Are you spiritually journeying or going on habitually with God? If you're somebody here is not a Christian, you haven't begun this walk as yet. But if you are a Christian, in some way or another, you will be engaged in this. But oh, my dear friends, that you might walk closely after God. You might be aware that you're walking very closely before him. He's not far behind you, as it were. And also that tonight you might be encouraged to have a closer walk with God. It's a lovely thing to think that in these terms, because God is omnipresent, because God is everywhere by his Spirit, he can be both or altogether in front of us and behind us and beside us at the same time. It's a wonderful thing, a wonderful relationship we have with God. God is over us, he's above us, his good hand is upon us. Underneath us are his everlasting arms. He's a God who goes before us, he's a God who is behind us. He's a God who holds us up, he's a God who holds us by our right hands. So it's a wonderful close relationship we can have with him, being reconciled to him by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So are you walking, spiritually, journey, or going on habitually with him? This is what this is all about. Now, our scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, teach us that there are three ways of walking, three ways in which the believer, these days the Christian, can walk, or that we can think of this walking. There is a walking after God, there is a walking before God, and there is a walking with God. And these are the three things I want us to hear about, think about, consider, ponder upon, muse upon tonight and this week. So first of all, Scripture, we're actually going through all the references. You find that the most popular description of walking is walking in the Spirit, walking in God's ways, walking in his statutes. But there aren't so many references as far as these are concerned, but these are lovely descriptions of walking. The first is walking after God, walking after him, as though he is before us. Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ has gone before us, and spiritually God goes before us as our good shepherd, doesn't he? He goes before us, paves the way for us. And William Jay's devotional book, his morning exercises, this is what he says this means in a nutshell. Walking after God, this supposes God to be our leader. Christ is our leader, God is our leader and our example that we are to follow, and requires us to be followers of him as dear children. We're to walk after God. So God is before us. He's in front of us. We're disciples of God. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has gone before us. We are looking to him. We're running after him. We're walking after him. He is our leader. He is our example. He is our great exemplar and pattern that we're to follow in all our conversation, in all of our life. He is our example and requires us to be followers of him as dear children, as God's dear children and as Christ's disciples. Now you have this phrase used only in the Old Testament. In fact, in regard to these expressions, walking after, before and with, there's only one reference. There's lots of references walking in the New Testament. There's only one in the New Testament with regard to these expressions. And there's one in Revelation to do with walking with God. But these, walking after God, only appear in the Old Testament. First of all, to do with Israel, in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4, where it said of them, you, Moses says to them, and again inspired by God to say these things to them, you shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments. You and I, my dear friends, in one sense are delivered from the commandments, aren't we? From their curse and from their condemnation. We've been saved, in one sense, from the law, from their condemnation. But, as God's people, how are we to police him? How are we to walk after him? Well, by walking in his ways, walking in the light of his word, walking in all of his commandments blameless. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. This is one of the ways that we are to walk after him and to follow him, by keeping his commandments, not in order to save ourselves, to earn our salvation, but as the issue and the consequence and the result of our salvation. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cleave unto him. So Israel was to do this. And then we read in 2 Kings chapter 23 and in verse 3, that historical book of the Old Testament, about Josiah. And this was when Josiah made a covenant before God, himself, and with all of God's people. Great time of revival and reformation at that time. And they made a covenant with God. The king stood by a pillar in the temple. He stood in his place. We read it in 2 Chronicles 34, 31, which is almost a parallel to this, in 2 Kings 23, 3. And he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord, to go after God, to be zealous after him, to be fervent with him, to seek to be holy, to seek to be pure, to seek to keep his commandments, to please him and to glorify him, to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart, with all his heart, and with all their soul, with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant. They stood to show that they were in agreement and that they would perform the words of the covenant, to seek to do God's will and obey his word in their lives as his people. And then finally, in Hosea chapter 11, verse 10, in that minor prophecy, in that minor prophet, concerning Ephraim and Israel, it says that they shall walk after God. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. So here's the first expression. The first description to do with walking. We are to walk after him. Not only that were they to do that in those days, we are to do it as his New Testament people, as his New Testament children and followers and disciples, the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. My dear friend, are you doing this as one of his people? Are you walking after him? Are you going after him? Are you running after him? Running in all the commandments, as it were, seeking to please him and obey him in everything, his will and his word in your life. Are you walking after the Lord your God? Is he and is Christ your leader and example, the author and the finisher of your faith? Are you following him as his dear children? Is your will being lost in his? Are you seeking to walk in his will and to please him and to glorify him in your life? This is how you're to do it, to walk after him, follow him, press on after him, and one day you'll actually be with him. Remember that. He is your leader and example this week. Christ is. God is. The second description concerning walking is this, that he's a God who is not only before us and goes before us and in front of us and we're following after him, but also, my dear friends, that we need to be so conscious of this in these days, that we're a people who are walking before him. And it is as though he is behind us. And he is, of course, he's not following us, being behind us. He is looking upon us. He is observing us. And he is witnessing our walk. And he's witnessing our lives. This is how it's put. You know, the Old Testament prophets, they stood before him. In the sense that we stand before him, we're conscious of his presence. But also we walk before him. William Jay, in his devotional book, Morning Exercises Again, by the way, I commend his devotional readings to you, they are quite wonderful. He says about this, this supposes God to be our observer, We've already seen he's our leader and our example, who's before us and goes before us. But here he is our observer and witness, watching us. We are thus always in his sight. Do you live like that, my dear friends? Always conscious that God is watching you. His eyes, as it were, goes to and fro through the earth, and he has a special eye for you. You are as the apple of his eye, and he's watching you. Can you imagine, my dear friends, how greatly you would go on in your sanctification if you just practice the presence of God day by day? Just aware. It's not as though he's kind of big brother watching you and it's a sense of oppression, but it's a sense of relief. It's a sense of safety, security and joy. God is watching over us. Again, like our shepherd, he's keeping an eye on us. He's looking out for the dangers, looking out for the threats, looking out for dangerous things against us, our enemies, watching out for us. We are walking before him. He's keeping a very, very close eye on us. I know if we could only practice that every day, what manner of people would be, my dear friends. What godly individuals, holy individuals, sanctified saints we would be if we could just work this out day by day. Well, this is what Abraham did. We read in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1 about Abraham. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. That was the standard that God set for Abraham. It's not as though Abraham could possibly be perfect in this life, but this is what he was to aim for. This is what the target would be, and how it would help him, wouldn't it, to be like that in the knowledge that God was watching him, watching over him, that he was walking before him. God, as it were, was behind him, observing and witnessing his life, every single moment, every second, every single day of it. Abraham was 99 years old. He appeared to Abraham and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. He says to you this week, doesn't he? Don't need to go after me, walk after me, but go before me and you be perfect. Live a sanctified life, a holy life before God. And then we read in Genesis 24 and verse 40, also about Abraham, that he, Abraham, actually this is the words of his eldest servant, but he comments about Abraham. He, Abraham, said to me, his eldest servant, the Lord before whom I walk. Can you say that? As one of his people, that you are walking before God, will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Abraham was somebody who walked before God. Not only Abraham, but also Isaac. Remember what Jacob said, blessing Joseph, Genesis 48 and verse 15. He said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, and he did as well, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, bless and prosper the lands, Joseph's children, Ephraim and Manasseh. My dear friend, these things are not only for our learning and our example, but for our encouragement. If these people could do this, if these people could walk after God, and if these people could walk before God, in spite of the godless days in which they lived, like Enoch, so can you and I, my dear friends. You and I must never use the excuse, well, things are different today. Things are a lot worse in our country than in those days. There's far more distractions. The degree of iniquity is far worse. It's not possible for us. Yes, it is. God gave them the grace to be able to live in this way. He's also able to give you the grace also to live in this way. Some others who walk before God, you think of Eli, Or at least he did, until things went awry with him and in his family and household. And he was replaced by Samuel. Samuel walked before God, 1 Samuel 2 and verses 30 and 35. And you think of those verses in Kings, 1 Kings 2 and verse 4, 3, 6, 8, 23, 25, 1 Kings 9 and verse 4, and so on. And those all mention about David and Solomon, David's children, in their day walking before God, seeking to be blameless before him in their walk before him. But also, if we come to apply the second point, somebody else who did this was Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 3. Remember when Hezekiah was ill? He turns to God and he says, "I beseech thee, O Lord." It's where he's saying, "Help me out now, Lord, because of the way in which I've lived before you in the past. Remember now, I beseech thee, how I've walked before thee." There it is again, walking before God in truth with a perfect heart. "And I've done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And we have the same expression in the Psalms. David and other psalmists too, walking before God. Isn't it a lovely expression? Just being conscious of him. Conscious of his nearness. Conscious that he's, as it were, behind us. Watching our backs. Watching over our lives. Keeping us in the narrow way. Keeping us faithful to him. Well, are you doing this, my dear friends, as a Christian here tonight? Are you not only walking after God, are you walking before him? Is he your observer and witness of everything in your personal life, when you're abroad, when you're at home, everything to do with your family life, everything to do with your work life? Are you conscious that he is watching and he is there with you? He will never leave nor forsake you. Are you always in his sight and seeking to be made more and more aware and conscious of that, the felt presence of God? Well, the third description of it is this, and this is perhaps most lovely of all, because of the first two, there's a sense of distance, isn't there? God is in front of, we're going after him. God is behind us, and we're going before him. But the glory of the Christian life is this, that we can actually walk with God, as it were, side by side with him, walking with him. And this is what Jay says about this, William Jay. "This seems to hold him forth as our companion and friend. Christ our friend, alongside us, the Spirit of God, the Paraclete, coming alongside us, God holding us by our right hands. This may seem surprising, but so it is. There's a communion between us. We have fellowship one with another. We discourse, we discuss things, we converse with one another. We're conscious that he's there with us, so near to us. In order to this, reconciliation is necessary. For how can two walk together except they be agreed?" Amos 3:3. "And this reconciliation must be mutual. It's not enough that God is reconciled to us through the blood of the cross. We must be also reconciled to God and love his presence, enjoy his presence, delight in his presence, and choose his way, choose his will. For walking with God," he goes on, "implies a oneness of course and supposes that we advance together towards the same end. God's aim is his own glory, and we're enjoined, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, to do all to the glory of God. As far as we observe this rule, we walk with God. If you are in his will, if you're living to his glory and the glory of Christ, you're walking with him. But the moment your will usurps his, the moment you seek your own glory, You won't depart from his will, way, and word. Then, my dear friend, you are becoming estranged from him. You're getting distant in fellowship and in communion, going away from him. And you must not backslide, not go away from him, remain close to him, seeking his glory. As far as we observe this rule, we walk with him. As far as we neglect it, we leave God and go in another direction. If we are familiar and conversant with anyone, we unavoidably catch something of his spirit and his manners. Hence it is said, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If I walk with God, I shall resemble him. And all will take knowledge of me that I have been with Jesus, like the early disciples. How envied would the man be that was allowed to walk with the king or the queen? But I, Jay said, he was a pastor in a church in Bath for many years, for over 50 years. He said, but I walk with the King of Kings. How sanctifying this could be, my dear friends. If you just take this on board tonight. If you live according to this rule, if you apply these things, walking after him, his behind you, walking before him, walking with him. I walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Such honour have not just special people, but all his saints. What security have I nearness to him? He is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. What can I want if I have him? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give you rest. Jay says in his devotional book, walking with him. And who walked with him, my dear friends? Throughout their lives, or much of their lives, Enoch did. Genesis 5, 22 and 24, we've seen that already. And also after Enoch, Noah. You think of the godless day that Noah lived in. Yet God enabled him and empowered him and gave him the grace to walk a close walk with him. Genesis 6, 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And not only Enoch, but after him, Noah walked with God. We read about Levi in Malachi 2, 6. The law of truth was in his mouth. And iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and it turned many away from iniquity. And we read about walking with God also in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. So, my dear friends, are you walking with him? Walking with God? What a greater privilege. And why wouldn't you? To have close fellowship with him. Him to speak to you. Especially through his word, to feel secure, to feel protected, to feel safe, to feel guided. What better place to be than to be near to God, to be living to his glory, and to be in his perfect will? Is he your close companion and friend? Are you having communion or fellowship with him? My dear friends, let us not rest content with a distant walk with God. I fear that so many of us are happy to do that. That we are kind of estranged from him. Let us not rest content unless we really know God is near to us and we are near to him. So this is what scripture teaches us about this business of spiritual walking. It teaches us we to walk after him and we may walk before him. And we may walk with him, and all at the same time because of his omnipresent. God is with us. What more could we want than to have him behind us, before us, and beside us in life's journey? One day we will be with him, walking with him, like in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 4. One day through grace we shall walk with him in white, in glory, in heaven. So, my dear friends, are you doing these things? Are you living out and working out the Christian life and salvation in this way, from day to day, practicing the presence of God? What a godly individual you'll be and what a mark you'll make upon your family, upon your friends, and upon your work colleagues when they see you living in a way like this, so conscious of the near presence of God.